Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
7:12 now on this Monday morning, April 15th. It looks like a slop machine if you look at the temperatures the next 3 days. Warm, breezy, highs of 82. Very warm Thursday, highs of 84. Even warmer Friday, 86 for a high. 20% chance for showers Thursday and Friday. Then a cold front comes through Saturday. And by Sunday, highs of 76 only. But those cold fronts are going to get few and far between as we approach the end of April. Bruce Jenelson joins us now, professor of public policy, political science at Duke University. He's previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
I'm good, Tommy. Hope you are as well.
Hi, I'm Bruce. You know, I am hardly at the nexus of intelligence in this country, but I had a couple of different people tell me to keep an eye on Iran, that they were getting ready to make a move on Israel. And this is last week that I heard this. So if I heard this, this could not have been much of a secret, was it?
No, you're right. It was really interesting. This was really telegraphed. The United States had plenty of time to move additional forces into the region, in the Mediterranean and in the Indian Ocean. One of the top generals from the Central Command, which deals with the Middle East, had time to get over there. And so it really is curious why we knew how much we did. And, you know, it could be intelligence, but it also could have been, we don't have diplomatic relations with Iran, but we often exchange messages through the Swiss embassy in Tehran.
Back channels, so stuff kind of like?
Yeah, and you wonder whether, you know, it couldn't have just been leaks. There was some sense that they wanted everybody to know almost to the hour when they were doing that. And it's curious. I think we need to do some digging through journalists and others to find out exactly why.
Because what that would indicate is that Iran wanted to do this, but they didn't want to be successful, as crazy as that sounds, but they wanted to send a message, but I'm not quite sure what that message would be. Am I on anything here or not?
Yeah, it definitely was an escalation, right? Israel and Iran have been fighting a sort of a shadow war for a long time. Israel's gone in and assassinated some nuclear scientists. I mean, going back a number of years, Iran blew up a Jewish community center in Buenos Aires, Argentina, as a way of getting back at Israel, because it was a Jewish community center, even though, you know, over in South America. But this was, and on April 1st, Israel did kill a top Iranian official in Syria, and he was in their diplomatic compound, which, you know, does cross a bit of a line. This is the first major Iranian attack directly on Israel. So on the one hand, you see this as a major escalation. On the other hand, we wonder about what all the signaling was about.
Talk about the importance of back channels when it comes to diplomacy, and how sometimes what we see and hear in the media is not what's going on at all.
It's so important, you know, because there are certain things that you can exchange views as almost trial balloons if there's no media coverage. It's also the case that, you know, Iran has politics, too. It's not a democracy. But, you know, there are groups in Iran that are more extreme than others that are in the government. And so sometimes you make connections, not just through, the CIA, but sometimes other people have ways of getting information. And back channels can really be important in the sense of, you know, let's float this with each other and see if it's going to be okay. And then we may put it in bright light, kind of take the plan out of the greenhouse.
So where does this with Iran attacking Israel, and I don't know if anybody was hurt in Israel, was there? I think they pretty well deflected most of it.
I think the reports were one young woman who was actually an Israeli a Bedouin was hurt, you know, in sort of the desert area. But It was close to 300 missiles and drones. And we, the Israelis, the British, and the Jordanians all contributed to intercepting them, which is pretty amazing, right? You know, it's a pretty good batting average no matter how you slice it.
So where does all of that fit in with Gaza and Hezbollah and everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, it is the risk now of a multi-front war, right? Gaza continues to go on. Hezbollah has been attacking from the north and stepped up some attacks while this was going on Saturday. The question now is, what happens next? Does Israel retaliate? You know, one argument is Israel could say, we don't really need to retaliate. We won. You hit us hard, and guess what? It didn't hurt. And you get some credibility from that. And frankly, you know, it puts Israel back in the position of being the victim, not the aggressor. But, you know, Israel may feel it needs to attack. Does it attack militarily? Does it do something more subtle like cyber? But when you start to climb that ladder of escalation, a whole number of things can happen. And so I know the United States has been trying to urge restraint, which may not mean no response, but it may mean no response, or it may mean a limited response. But it gets really risky if you get back to a back and forth, and things can get out of control pretty quickly.
And to be clear, Hamas is in Gaza. Hamas attacked Israel from Gaza in October. The link between Hezbollah and Hamas, is there a link?
So both have some support from Iran. Hamas is Sunni, not Shia, and it's more of a client of Iran. Hezbollah is seen as a proxy. You know, it's also Shia. You know, Iran has a larger presence with them in Lebanon. But Hezbollah, you know, has learned, too, that if it escalates too much and all of Lebanon suffers, then Hezbollah gets some, you know, backlash from the Lebanese people. So everybody's trying to, like, find the balance here. And the problem there is it's not easy to get right. Plus, somebody can miscalculate and say, I was trying for the balance and I escalated, and now we're you know, kind of off to the races, as it were.
So Iran's dispute with Israel is about territory, about power, about what? What is Iran's motivation in all of this?
You know, Iran's motivation has been, since 1979 and the Islamic Revolution, has really been, you know, the United States and Israel as the two devils. We're the big devil, they're the smaller devil. And it really has been, you know, about destruction of Israel. It never supported the peace process in the 90s. Hamas didn't either, but a number of other Palestinian groups did, and a lot of the Arab world did. And so it really sees itself as, you know, out to Israel as the main enemy. And for Israel, Iran has been an enemy, but it's also been Prime Minister Netanyahu throughout his career has sort of played the Iran card to get everybody mobilized and distract from things that people are opposed to him on. And there's a concern that he may do that now in ways that may be in his political interest, but not even in his own country's interest.
You're talking about Netanyahu now.
Netanyahu.
Yeah. We'll pick this up when we come back, because I want to talk about that, because the first thing I thought of was, here we go again, Biden talking to Netanyahu, saying, easy, Bibi, back off a little bit. Let's, you know, like, I know the guy, but easy, let's back off here a little bit. And I think what Biden said was pretty much, look, you showed them, you slapped down everything they had, so that's enough. But will that be enough for Netanyahu, not just as the leader of Israel, but what's going on internally politically there? And also, we'll go back and revisit what's going on with Hamas and Gaza and where that stands, because that's maybe got knocked off the front page for the second with this Iran attack, but it's certainly there. We're talking to Bruce Jennelson, trying to sort out this mess in the Middle East, as people have been trying to do for decades. Professor of public, well, more than that, centuries. Millennia. Professor of public policy and political science at Duke, previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process. Traffic now, WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Bruce Jenelson, professor of public policy, political science at Duke University, previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process. Bruce, let me get to the text line because I like to bring the audience into it. Okay, somebody texted in and said, 30 missiles, Israel has the right to wipe Iran off the map. Okay, let's game that out. What happens then?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the people can express that as emotion, but if you're gaming out, like you said, what does it mean to wipe Iran off the map? Does it mean killing millions of Iranians? What happens to Israel after that? Do you use nuclear weapons? It's not a strategy. That's not a strategy that even some of the more extreme people in the Israeli government are considering.
And even at that point, you know, you're wiping off, quote, wiping out a lot of people that are opposed to the Iranian government as much as we are, I would think, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot. There was a story, an interesting story. You know, you get protests in different forms. And at a football game, at a soccer game in a big stadium, the Iranians announced, let's have a, you know, cheer for our, you know, our colleagues, our allies in Gaza. And a whole bunch of people booed, you know, not because they like Israel, but because they don't like their own government. And, you know, that kind of stuff is happening in Iran. And those people, you know, those people are not the kind of people you want to wipe off the face of the earth.
It's an interesting text that says what it tells me is that Iran felt it had to respond to the Syria attack, but didn't want to escalate the war. So you plan and telegraph an attack for home consumption, but you don't give out enough info that it won't cause harm, much harm.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. You know, the only thing about it was, you know, it wasn't 30, like somebody said, it was 200 to 300 missiles.
Right.
So they did that, but they did it at a high level, which also risked that some would get through. But this wasn't, you know, they did telegraph it. So there's a really mixed message here that needs to be interpreted.
The thing that really struck home for me was, if I knew about this, Bruce, and again, I'm not at the nexus of intelligence in the world, then certainly those in the know had to know about it. When it comes to, I was kind of like kidding around earlier saying, you know, for this year, decades, centuries, millennia, will there ever be peace in this region, ever?
You know, Tommy, I'm from New York originally, and so I'm born a cynic, but I've seen the moments it,
there. Does that come with being born in New York, Bruce? I didn't know that.
It sort of does.
Because I'm a cynic, and I wasn't born in New York. I was just curious. Okay. But I love New York, and maybe that's why. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Well, I married a Southerner, a girl from New Orleans, so that's been helpful to me, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Born in the ninth. Lower ninth. Born in the lower ninth.
Good for you.
Her grandparents were in the lower ninth. But I've seen the moments. I've seen the moments where there was progress. You know, I've seen when, you know, Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, who'd been in charge of, you know, repressing the Palestinians, came together with Yasser Arafat, the head of the PLO, you know, and signed an agreement which started the peace process. And it went off the rails for lots of reasons. So I don't give up hope, you know. I mean, if there isn't peace, what's the alternative? It's just more of the same. So folks got to keep trying to move it along.
What about Rafah and Hamas and Netanyahu? And you got Biden telling, you know, Netanyahu, look, you already showed him in this case that that you can defend them. There's no need to retaliate any further. Does now Netanyahu use this as a negotiating point to have more with Biden to take more action in Gaza?
I think both are problems for the United States, and not just his politics, but Biden can tell Netanyahu that this is not just not in your interest. It's not in our interest, too. And we're an ally. We want to support you. But we can't do things that are not in our interest either. And it's kind of a tough love message that we think this is bad for you and bad for us. Now, how you get Netanyahu to listen, you know, is a tough question. You know, how much pressure do you bring? But that's what the president, he's trying to draw on, you know, his whole career, 50 years of support for Israel, to say, I've supported you, I got credibility, and I think these things, Rafah, and excessive retaliation or bad ideas.
One other thing, when it comes to moving fleets around and this and that and the other thing, that's very expensive, is it not?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure it is, you know, and it's part of the defense budget. But it is why we have defense forces, you know, and it's not as expensive as an all-out war would be in the region, which in both lives and treasure would inevitably cost us a huge amount. So, you know, you still have a basis for making those kind of commitments and spending that money.
Pleasure as always, Bruce. If you will, please tell Mrs. Gentleson, where you at, darling, for me, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Bet. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. Time now for WWL First News.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.